This morning's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 3 to 17. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my head and my hands as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. That was why he said, "Not every one of you was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The second reading is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen."
Can you hear me? Okay, my name is Corinne. I think some of you know me. If you don't, I am training to be a primary school teacher. I've been part of this church for about 10 years now, and I'm coming to talk to you this morning about the reading we've just heard. So, if you have been here over the last few weeks, you would know we've been doing a theme called the One Another's in the Bible, and I've got a list here of all the One Another's we've had so far. We've had love, honour, forgive one another, have fellowship with one another, all the way down. And they all sound quite kind of impressive, you know, honour one another, wait for one another. And now that it's my turn, we've got wash one another's feet, which I feel has a slightly different tone to it. So I've kind of taken some creative license and gone with a twist on wash one another's feet. And I wonder if you can guess the word I've gone for from this picture. Looking at these pictures, what one word links them? Just give you a second to think.
Serve.
Serve. I've gone for serve one another. That's right, well done. So, serve one another. There are so many different things we could say about serving, and I think that serving means a lot of different things to different people. It might mean serving time in a prison. It might be being served with legal papers. It might be a serve in tennis. It might be service in the hospitality industry. Or it might be serving, giving up your time, giving up your efforts. And in a church context, I think that's the most common. When you Google what does serve mean, the example it gives is something like Harold served his church faithfully for 40 years. That's the Google definition of serve, which I just love. So there's so much we can talk about, but I wanted to pick out the fact that our world, as it stands, is quite a self-service world. We really promote DIY flat pack furniture where you build it all yourself. We have these self-service checkouts, which I don't know about you, but I often choose to use the self-service checkout, maybe because it saves the human interaction when I'm kind of in my own world. But we also have self-service banks. We pay checks in with a machine. And I heard a story from my mum that there used to be people that would serve you your petrol. Is that right? Whereas I've only ever had to do my own petrol. So I found that absolutely... Is that more recent then? Is that not that long ago that you... Well, there we go. So a self-service world. And so I wanted to get a picture of what serve means for us in a self-service world. Does it still have that authentic meaning of that giving of your time and yourself? So I did a little bit of research this week, a bit of field work, and I got a video of a whole number of different people, faces you'll recognise, faces you won't, just talking for 10 seconds about what serve means to them.
Well, hi. Well, what serving means...
What does serving mean to me?
Serve means
to serve.
To serve.
To serve.
A verb to serve means to present something to somebody or to present somebody with something.
For me, serving is an expression of love. Love is an action. When we serve others by helping, providing for a need, or using our gifts and talents to support someone, we're expressing that love in a practical way.
It means going deeper in worship of God and encouraging others, encouraging all of us to do the same.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I found it really interesting to get a whole kaleidoscope of perspectives on the word serve. And what I drew out of that really is that people speak really positively about it, like it's a really good thing to do. And that people already are serving in their lives in so many different ways. And so when I thought about what do I want to share at the front of church about serving, I don't think it's right for me to say, you need to serve, you need to pick up more things to do, you need to make sure that you're giving in more ways. Because I think what we're seeing is people are really willing to serve. But I want to think about some of the negatives of serving. We've got a thumbs up, thumbs down, positive negatives of serving. And the negatives I drew out were that serving can often feel very thankless, like you don't always get a thank you for the serving that you do. It can be unseen. Obviously, as Christians, we believe that God sees our service, but by other people, it can feel unseen. It can be taxing on us, whether that be mentally or physically, and it can also be belittling sometimes. There's sometimes a hierarchy associated with serving. So because of this, I don't think our issue is not serving. I think with all of these things in mind, as British people and as Christians, it's often really hard to allow yourself to be served. And I think that links to that self-service society. I prefer to go to a checkout where someone serves me, but I find that, I don't know, in some way awkward if I know I'm able to do it myself. If I can do it myself, I will. Because I think there's that feeling of, oh, I don't want to be served, I want to do it. I remember my granddad was the most serving man in the world. He gave my grandma breakfast in bed every day of their married life for about 50 years. But he would not be served. If you tried to give him something, he would stand up and give it to you back. You know, he was just such a servant-hearted man. And I think what I want to think about is someone who was the most important, the most incredible person in the universe, Jesus. How did he allow himself to be served, and how did he serve others from that position? So the next thing I want to show you is a clip from The Chosen, because I feel like I can't talk at the front without mentioning The Chosen. It's my favourite thing to watch, and it's if you don't know, it's a TV programme. It's available for everyone. You just Google The Chosen, and it's there to watch for free. It's easy to find. And it follows the story of Jesus' disciples. It's a crowd-funded project, and it's really incredible. So I want to show you this short clip. It's just 2 minutes long. And it's Jesus, after a full day of serving, he's healing the sick and the broken people outside of Samaria, right at the start of his ministry. And after this long day of serving, he's exhausted. and the person he allows to serve him is his mother, Mary. So if we can just watch that together quickly. Oh, let's get to it. Here we go. This is the crowd waiting to be healed by him. If you couldn't quite hear that, last thing he said was, "I'm so tired." And I think seeing this version of Jesus, who is fully human in this moment, as well as being fully God, he is broken and tired after a really long day of serving others, and he allows himself to be served. You might be thinking, why on earth did she wash his feet? That's not normally a thing mothers do for their adult male children, I don't think. Why was she washing his feet? Well, if I just share with you for a moment, in first century Jewish culture, you know how when we go somewhere there's often a hand gel station? Well, when they would go somewhere, whether that be the place where they were sleeping or if they were going out into the towns, there would always be, instead of a hand sanitizer station, there'd be a foot bowl, a foot washing station. And that was because they would have their kind of cleanliness routines were not quite up to our standards, but they would have a weekly bathe, and then they would only walk around in sandals, and they didn't have any socks. And the roads were not only dusty, but the roads were where you would find a lot of animal waste and also often human waste, and just, it was not a clean place to be walking. And so every time they went in somewhere, the first thing they did was wash their feet. And that would normally be done by themselves. In that moment, you could see Jesus was so weary and tired that his mother knelt down and did it for him. But the only other time that someone would wash your feet for you is if you went to your rich friend's house and they were very posh and they had a servant, and they would make the servant wash your feet. And it would be like the lowliest job. It would be like being asked to go and clean the toilets. You know, it was the worst job. And so this leads us into our story of John 13. I know that's very small. You don't need to be able to read it because we've already heard it from Claire. But this story takes place at a very important meal. Does anyone know which meal this story takes place at? The Last Supper. This is at the Last Supper. So lots of amazing things happen at the Last Supper. It's probably the most significant meal that's ever happened. This is where Jesus first introduces communion and shares the cup of wine and bread. This is where he gives us the first commandment to love one another. The second commandment, because the first one is to love God. But he shares all this amazing stuff at this meal that happens less than 24 hours before the crucifixion. So this little microcosm of history is packed with important stuff. And one of the things is Jesus stooping down and washing the feet of these 12 teenage boy disciples. What do I want to tell you about him washing their feet? It was a really intimate and personal moment. And the fact that he did it in the context of this meal where the disciples, it's recorded in other gospels, in Luke 22 verse 24, it says the disciples, their conversation at the table was they were arguing who's going to be the greatest. It says they began to argue among themselves who would be the greatest in heaven. Well, I'm going to sit at Jesus' left hand, and I'm going to sit at his right hand, and I'm going to get to heaven first. That's what they're talking about, these disciples. They're feeling really important and special as God's chosen 12. And Jesus sees that and thinks, right, I need to teach them a lesson. And so he gets down and he serves them. He shows them, even though I am the most important person, I can still wash your feet. And you should do that for one another. Because of this act of service, this moment that we have recorded in one of the Gospels, I don't know if you know this, world leaders and monarchs have traditionally washed feet. So just this year, in 2023, on Maundy Thursday, Pope Francis washed the feet of 12 teenage boys in a youth prison. And I know that historically this has been quite a common practice, this foot washing ceremony. Some services even have foot washing services, some churches do. And I find that quite hard because I think in our culture now, people are quite disgusted by feet. I don't know if you come across that in your lives, but I know that certainly my closest people to me are very, don't touch my feet, I don't want to touch your feet. It's a very kind of no-go area. And so the thought of, I mean, I even thought for this service, should I wash someone's feet? And then I thought, actually, I don't know if I could find anyone that would let me wash their feet, because it goes both ways. And that act between Jesus and his disciples was an act of sacrifice for both of them. Someone taking the lowly position of washing the feet, and someone allowing that intimate act of someone washing their feet. I think it would be really ticklish for me, to be honest. So God was setting an example, and in this passage, Jesus says, now that I have done this, I have set you an example. The number of times I say that to my children in school when I'm teaching, watch me do it, I will set you an example, and then you do it. And I think that's a really beautiful model for teaching. There's nothing that God asks of us that he isn't willing to do himself. Or to remove the double negative, he only asks us to do things that he himself has done. This is our God, King of the universe, but also a servant to everyone. So while I was preparing this, I came across this beautiful series of artwork called the Foot Washing Series, and I thought it was too good not to show you quickly. It's by Jessica Bond of a creative group called Salt and Gold, a Christian art group. And she says, before you see these pictures, she says, be prepared for Jesus to flip the tables of your heart. It's not about who's on the seat, it's about who's washing the feet. So just take a look at these pictures. They really blew my mind. I left that last one on its own because I feel like I relate with this woman the most. And it's not something I'm proud of. I think it's probably something that's quite shameful. But I feel like often I'm too distracted to realise that Jesus is there washing my feet. That Jesus is, and I mean that metaphorically, that Jesus is stooping down and serving me and protecting me and loving me. And I'm, you know, on my phone, or I'm too busy worrying about things. And I just think those pictures, just one more time quickly. I mean, the one of Donald Trump really made me think, wow, yes, Jesus would wash his feet. He would wash a drunk person who's on the streets. He would wash a tiny child, a prisoner, the most important and the least important. So I found that really struck me. I wanted to share that with you. But as I start to wrap up, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, you don't serve in your own strength. You serve with the strength that God provides. Don't try to do it on your own. And I think that works also for what we were talking about with allowing ourselves to be served. We don't do that on our own. We do that with God's strength. I get the sense that these ideas, these words, might fall on two very different kinds of people. And you might be these different kinds of people at different points in your life. But I drew out from this that there are people who are only serving. They're giving, giving, giving of themselves. They serve all day at work, and then they come home and they serve all evening. Or they've had a long life of serving and they don't know how to stop. They just don't spend time for themselves. They don't give anything for themselves. And they find it difficult to allow others to serve them. The other type of people are people who are burnt out, worn down, and take that back seat, and they need to be served because they have nothing to give. So I've kind of divided it into people who are only serving and people who are only being served. But in order to serve one another, we have to do both. So you can't be serving one another if you're only giving, and you can't be serving one another if you're only receiving. I think I've definitely been at points of my life where I feel like I'm only being served, and I feel like I need everyone to do things for me because I just can't do it myself. But I've also been at points where I've been so busy and I feel like I don't stop to be served, or I'm only serving. So I feel like hopefully something in there is relating to you. but to speak to those two different types of serving. If you're serving too much, if we're always giving of ourselves, you need to think about when are we going to receive, because otherwise we're going to burn out. And it might be that we're a place of burnout now and we need to reflect, how much am I giving, how much am I receiving? And those are quite broad terms. I think what I mean by that, giving might be coming and helping and volunteering all day, and it might be that you're helping out loads of different people, you're just go, 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 and you're not stopping. And receiving might be that you turn up to a lot of things and you just soak it all in, and that you have a lovely person at home who looks after you and cooks for you and does things like that. So there might be lots of different ways in which we serve and receive. I think that Christ-like serving is about the quality of it, not quantity. So it's not about how much can I do, it's about how good is what I'm doing. Serving takes trust, but it can be a double blessing if you can have that where you're serving someone and they're being served. It can bless you to serve as well. You can feel uplifted and blessed in that act of service. And then finally, that idea of not serving but being served. There might be someone in this room who is wanting to serve more but not sure how. And I know that in an immediate practical sense, as our church, there are always ways you can serve. And I know that I'm sure Sarah would love to speak to you if you're sitting feeling, I'd love to do a bit more. And also asking God for opportunities to serve in your life. That's a very daring prayer. Asking God to show you ways in which you can serve. And so I just want to finish by saying, to serve one another, this idea, it doesn't just say serve others. If the command from Jesus was to serve others, we could just about do that. If the command from Jesus was to be served, we could do that too, I think. But to serve one another requires both. And so I hope you feel challenged, whichever circle you might be in, that you need to think about how you can do both, how you can serve and be served.